Talking from our theme, coming out of the book of Colossians, the fourth chapter, we have two verses for your hearing. Colossians 4, beginning at verse 5. And we find these words written there: walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And today we want to talk about exemplifying godly grace. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, here we stand. Lord, to present the word of God to the people of God, that God, that your word might find a resting place within our hearts, that we might be able, God, to conform to that which you would have us to do. Now, God, I ask that you would hide me, Lord, behind your cross, that I may speak words of encouragement and inspiration. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Exemplifying godly grace.
Amen.
The grace of God is an attribute of God that all men love to receive.
Yes.
And the truth of the matter is, we need God's grace. It is the receiving of things undeserved. It's the receiving of things unreserved. Undeserved. Webster's dictionary frames the definition of grace as advantages not adequately earned. But in the Christian world, we define grace as God's unmerited favor. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God's grace is a gift to mankind. And grace's counterpart, mercy, which we will talk about next week, are necessary and needed. Thus, we recognize that our God is willing to impart blessings we did not receive or deserve. Amen.
Amen.
We did not deserve God's blessings. We received them. Amen. But it is a blessing to receive it. And so it's the obtaining of anything that we individually or corporately didn't or were not required to go through the normal process to receive. It is similar to finishing a race that you just started. Didn't have to run the race, didn't run a full race, but you finished the race, and you finished it in record time. Sort of like when we played Monopoly. How many of us ever played Monopoly?
Amen.
Now, you know, we always had our own rules. We made them up, amen, just to make it a little bit more difficult. One of the rules that we had when we played Monopoly was that you had to go around one whole time in order to buy property. And so if you ended up in jail on your first go around, you knew that it was going to take you three times to roll, your turn comes three times in order for you to get out of jail. Am I right about it? Did y'all play like that? Three times? You had to roll three times. You got automatically out of jail. Unless you roll doubles. If you roll doubles, you can come out of jail. And if you rolled a double and ended up on community chess and got a card that says go directly to the boardwalk, and then you rolled again, you landed on a property that you could buy. Now, at first, it looked like you was going to be a sinker, because everybody else would have gotten around and three times and probably bought some property. And you would be the last one. And the whole object of playing Monopoly, I'm going to give my secret away, is that if you buy property first, you can start getting rent. And if you get all three colors, you can get double. And if you put houses on there and hotels before everybody else got their hotels up, you could start causing people to be deficient in the money that they had. That's how people got out quick. Because you landed on that property and you had to fork over some money. And when you ran out of money, you couldn't play. But see, if you got to in jail, you knew you were something. Oh, man. But if you got those doubles on the next go round and you ended up going around faster than everybody else, that's grace. Or you could call that favor. But you know, that's playing a board game. How about life? How does grace work? Let's say you want a promotion, or you were thinking about a promotion. You've been working hard, but you were not in line for a promotion. Other people around you were in line for a promotion, but you were not in line for a promotion. And all of a sudden, a promotion lands on your desk. That's grace. Or you were blessed with a car that you didn't pay for. That's grace. Or you met a person that you weren't looking for. A friend, maybe a business partner, maybe a mate who shows up and becomes the best thing that ever happened to you. That is God's grace. But God, who provides us grace, also wants his children to exhibit grace to others. Grace that exhibited through kindness to others, our words to one another, and through our attitude, grace is seen. Exhibiting grace to those who appear to be high on the totem pole, amen, is okay. But we also need to be exhibiting grace to those who are lower on the totem pole. The Bible says that we never really know who we are communicating with. It could be an angel. It's not based on what you're dressed in. It's not based on the type of clothes that you wear. It's not based on the kind of job that you have. It's not even based on where you live or what kind of car you drive, if you have a car. Grace is given to every person. So what is the basis of this grace? What enables Christians to exhibit something that is not natural to our being? This grace which sets us apart from others. That something that is a blessing to others in particular need. Everybody needs a kind word. Somebody say amen. Everybody needs a kind spirit to be around them. And open to kindness, grace is imparted by God to every Christian. Grace is founded upon your faith and your knowledge and your experience and your belief in God. First, we know that God is always with us. Mm-hmm. That's our knowledge. We know that God is always with us. We know that God is always with us. Somebody say amen. Amen. We also have experienced that God has been with us before in every challenge and situation. Amen. No matter how difficult the situation seemed to be, God was with us. Yes. And guess what? We are here today. We might not be the way that we like to be, We might not have done the things we wanted to do, but we're still here. And we have that experience of knowing that God is always with us. Also, we understand that we believe that God will work out our situation. Amen. Something funny, brothers? Something funny? Okay. Just cut the laughing out. All right. God, amen, is always working out our situation. Am I right about it? There's stuff that happened that God made a way for us.
Amen.
Yes, we didn't do it. We've been working hard. We haven't seen any results. Nothing seemed to be going our way. But then all of a sudden, there is a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And God makes a way for us. Amen, somebody. And finally, we have faith that God will never fail us. That's why we have grace. We know, praise God, that He's always with us. We have experience in knowing that He is before us in every challenge and situation. We know and we believe that God will work out our situation, and God has never failed us. We might have, amen, we as individuals may have missed the mark, but God has never failed us.
Amen.
So we recognize that God is our foundation. And we're able to build on that foundation, a structure, what God has in teaching us. Realizing that it is not us, but God that is shining through us.
Amen.
Amen. It is the confidence in God, knowing that God is in control of our lives, that enables us to have grace.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When we know that God has our back, and when we understand that no matter what's going on in front of us, no matter what the challenge may be, we can have grace. When we understand that, you know what, it might not look too good right now, but it is the confidence and understanding that God is able to work it out and bring us out of all situations. Somebody say amen. You see, God already knew it, so you know there's a way out. God knows the journey that we have to walk. It's not like we walking the journey and God's walking with us and discovering what's going to happen in front of us when we discover it. God already knows what we've got to go through. And God sends us through the journey that we go through for a good reason. Because there's some things in us that we got to get rid of before God can take us to the next level. And so when we understand that God knows exactly what we got to go through, God knows where we are. God knows where we're going. God knows where we've been. Somebody say amen. And so, when we understand that, amen, then our view on life shall be that as a Christian, that God, amen, is working through and that He is working hard. Excuse me. And when we're working hard for God, then we understand that we're desirous of being in the will of God. And when we're in the will of God, amen, then His grace will show up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When we are moving in a direction that God wants us to move into, I'm not saying that we're all there. Amen. And when I say we're all there, I'm not talking about, amen, there's some who are there already. I'm talking about we are all working to get to where God wants us to be at.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Young people, praise God. Amen. You don't really know what life is all about yet. You've seen it, but you ain't done dealt with it yet.
Amen.
You don't know about the financial strains and the structures. You don't understand having to provide a place, amen, for your head and food for your stomach and clothes on your back. And you don't understand that, you know, you got to deal with the man. You don't understand that yet. But you know what? You just keep on watching your parents. You keep on watching your parents deal. I know when I watch my parents, I say, oh man, this is easy. I can do that. But then, as I became an adult and had my own family, I began to scratch my head. I wonder how they did it. And truth be told, our children are doing the same thing. Amen. They're scratching their head, wondering how mama and daddy did it. Could that be that I missed something? Could it be that they had some knowledge that I didn't have? Could it be that they knew what they were talking about all along?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I ain't hear nobody say nothing. But that's a nugget right there. Oh, that's not in my notes, but that's okay. But you got to understand that living life is not easy. You're going to need some grace. And you're going to need some mercy. And so, praise God, my first point is this. Treat all men with grace. In our text, it says that we should walk in wisdom toward them that are without. As Christians, it's important for us to treat folk who are not Christians with wisdom and grace. Because people who are not Christians do things that people who aren't Christians do. We say non-Christians do what non-Christians do. You can't expect more or less from people who are not Christians. And so non-Christians do non-Christian things and have non-Christian habits. Yeah. That's who they are.
Yeah.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Non-Christians have habits that are non-Christian. That's who they are.
Yes.
They do things, amen, that non-Christians think is okay, but Christians know it's not. We talk about fornicating and committing adultery. I'm not talking about on a sexual level. I'm talking about how they use their money. They don't use their money to fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why would they? They're not Christians. They don't have a vocabulary of grace. Why would they? They have vocabularies that represent who they are. Or their relationships. Their relationships aren't godly relationships. Why would they? This is how non-Christians live. They live outside of the will of God. So that's why God says is that we ought to have wisdom toward them that are without.
Yes.
Now we have some Christians, amen, who look like or act like they're non-Christians, but in reality they are Christians. They're just trying to work out their situation. You know, amen, everybody that comes to church is working out their situations. And just like they're trying to work out their situation, so are we. And so we have some folks, praise God, who have things that they're working on. That's why they come to church. They come to church to work on their situations. They come to feel and to see the light of God. They come to hear the word of God. They go out, praise God, and they might go back and do the same thing. But you know what? The Spirit of God is working on their behalf, turning their hearts toward Him. It's not our job. It's God's job. All we have to do is to invite them to come into the house of the Lord. So, as Christians as well as not as Christians, we ought to, as Christians, show them grace. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so we have a big responsibility, my brothers and sisters. We have to show grace to those who are in the house, and we have to show grace to those who are out of the house. Nobody said no.
Amen.
Amen. It should be grace that is seen in us, and it should not always have to be what we say. Amen. It should be that they see in us, and it doesn't have to be what we say.
Amen.
So we ought to be redeeming the time. That is taking advantage of the opportunities presented to us to show grace, not anger, not disdain, not hatred, nor have a poor attitude, but grace. To everybody.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Remember, when you was a non-Christian, who did you draw nigh to? Did you not seek out that person who had grace, who had words of encouragement, who would then speak words into your life to inspire and to encourage you and to let you know that there is something special about you in spite of where you are, in spite of what you've done, that God is still looking at you. God has a desire for you. God wants to use you. God wants to magnify you. And then, praise God, your light came on and you realized that, amen, every time I look in the mirror, I've got to change the way I look at myself. I've got to declare that I am a child of the Most High God. God has not brought me this far to leave me now. God has brought me that I might be who He wants me to be, and that I should be able to shout to God that, God, you are Almighty God. Keep on changing me.
Yeah.
So, my second point is, let's talk to all men with grace. And our text says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. We should want to seek the best in people.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out the best of those who surround you. Mm-hmm. That is, you have to utilize grace in order to pull out the best in everyone.
Hallelujah.
They're not going to get it if you're trying to always beat them down.
Hallelujah.
Mm. If you're trying to let them know where they aren't, or if you're trying to send a message. You see, our job is not to judge. Our job is to encourage them.
Amen.
That they might be able to walk just a little bit better.
Amen.
By our example.
Amen.
You see? And so, in order to do that, we've got to speak with grace. We've got to speak with love. We got to speak with hope.
Yes.
And we have to speak with kindness.
Amen.
Speaking with these attributes enables God to show up not only in your life, but those who are around you. Being graceful in our approaches toward man. Being graceful, amen, in our attitudes. Being graceful in our thoughts. It enables us to speak with grace.
Yes.
That would mean that we have to eliminate negative words from our vocabulary. See, we love to have negative words. We want to make an impact when we tell somebody off. Mm-hmm. See, you can't tell somebody off with grace. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't tell them off. What happens is that we have a negative words in our vocabulary. You idiot. That sounds better than God is going to do something great with you. Mm-hmm. You simpleton. See, those negative words, they carry volumes. Okay? And it makes a point. And it digs in. And it hurts. And guess what? That person would just say, I'm going to have to shake that off. I'm not going to deal with it. But it will show up in their behavior later on. Because somehow they start to believe that perhaps, maybe, you were right. Maybe I am an idiot. So, we got to be graceful in our attitudes, be graceful in our thoughts that enable us to speak with grace. Eliminating words from our vocabulary that are negative and replace them with positive words. And apply these words to your own life. Stop being your worst critic. Being your worst critic. And start becoming your best friend. You know what I'm talking about. Young people, listen to me now. Because it's very important. Because there's people in your life who don't know who you are. They don't know your heritage. Even if you just started coming to church today, they don't know your heritage. And they're always trying to make you think that you're small, at least smaller than them. Mm-hmm. So that's why they talk about you. They want you to think that you're smaller than them so that they can look and feel bigger than you. But you know what? You should always look in the mirror and not see the negative, but to see the positive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were growing up, they used to teach me because I was taller than everybody else. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesse, you're so tall. And they would laugh, what have you. And I was just saying to myself, what's wrong with being tall? Being tall is good. You watch. You'll see. Some people have big ears. They talk about their ears. Some people have big noses. They talk about their noses. Some people have big lips. They talk about their lips. Some people wear black as purple or purple. And they talk about their skin color. Some people wear light skin and they talk about their skin color. But you know what? If you don't look in the mirror and begin to speak words of encouragement to yourself, you'll believe what you hear. So let grace abound. Those of you who be on Instagram, this is what Country Wayne would say, let this sizzle in your spirit. I love to listen to him. Because he says some very important principles. Let that sizzle in your spirit. Finally, with grace, you can answer every man. To me, this is a very intriguing point coming out of verse 6. Because with grace, you are able to answer every man. Not that you have the answer, but you can provide an answer. When a person is despondent, well, the answer is hope. Might not have the solution to their problem,
but you have an answer to their situation.
They might be broke,
but the answer is count your blessings. Name them one by one. See what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You might not have the solution, but you have an answer. Your wife might get on your last nerves, but the answer is she is your rib. Might not have an answer, but you have an answer to the situation. You're able to provide some direction. Your husband might be a pain in the neck, but he's your head. Might not have a resolution, but you have an answer that clears up the dominion in your life. The grace of God in your life is the answer. God is the answer. You don't have to beat it over the heads. You just let them know who, and they'll beat themselves over the head. So here's where we start. The answer is Jesus, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. When we start there, we are moving in the right direction. So let me give you 5 or 6 examples very quick of showing grace with words. First of all, look for the needs of others. I'm not going to read anything else than that. Just look for the need of others. Respond with grace. Even when somebody's criticizing you, respond with grace. Have a graceful presence.
Amen.
That is, in a time when there needs to be kind words spoken, speak them. Forgive with grace. Even if you didn't do anything, forgive.
Amen.
You can forgive if you didn't do anything. And if you did do something, very quickly find your way to ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
Learn to say, I'm sorry. And keep short accounts. You don't need to keep a long list of things that people have done to you. Let it go and keep on moving. That's when you have grace. And finally, clean up your language. Use gentle words, not harsh words.
Amen.
Say thank you to show grace to others. Amen. And take an interest in others.
Amen.
That's what happens when you exemplify God's grace in your life. So we're going to ask that you stand.